So the readings today offer us many reasons for hope in the middle of pain or death, or even as we look around our lives today, and specifically at the end of the growing season that we're experiencing here in Central Virginia, the end of time, if you will, for things in our local natural world. We can have reason for hope knowing that spring will come. For no matter how much joy we have received from these things in our lives, whether it be a historic season for your favorite team, to how much pleasure we may have received from the beauty of a garden, to that glorious light that lights up the trees in the fall, to a beautiful gold when the sunlight hits them just at the right angle. We know these pleasures will end because all things end. And it's a little sad, for we know that especially things of this earth always end. All things pass away, good and bad. You know, and as the liturgical year passes away, the liturgy of the church also offers a theme of hope to those who are suffering their own end times, be it bodily or spiritually. And we offer this message to hope to humanity as a whole also. In the midst of persecution, Daniel writes the words that we heard today. He was looking hopefully to the future, and he prophesied, "At that time, your people shall escape, everyone who is found written in the book." In the speech on the end times in today's gospel that Jesus gives, Jesus sees the fulfillment of the prophecies of the Old Testament. He also quotes from Daniel, "And then they will see the Son of Man coming in the clouds with great power and glory. And then he will send his angels to gather up the elect from the four winds, from the ends of the world to the end of the sky." And the author of the letter to the Hebrews contemplates Christ sitting at the right hand of God, waiting till his enemies are made his footstool. In these readings, we are reminded that Christ delivers a promise that when the time comes that we, as people who are written in the book, can escape, we will be gathered up as elect and can be joined with Christ in eternity. But we need not wait that long to experience Jesus' promise. For the coming of our Lord, or the destruction of the end times, should not always be viewed as a future event. It's a both-and thing. We prepare for end times, as Jesus tells us in the readings, but we can also experience the returning of the Lord as a daily thing. We are told we meet Jesus in the stranger, in the widow, in the orphan, in the faces of the men that we meet when we house the homeless, as we're doing now. And we are truly blessed to be able to share our time, talent, and treasure with them. But we're also to see Jesus in our daily prayer life. And part of that prayer should be part of this willingness to be a member of that elect that we talk about in the gospel today. To be a member of that elect, ready to be gathered in by Jesus. We must also be aware of the things that must be destroyed within us to make us ready for eternal life and communion with Jesus. You know, I personally struggle with apocalyptic messages. I'm sorry. You'd think I've had it by now. Because I have in the past joined with my Christian brothers in trying to read too much into these readings to try to figure out the when and how of the end times. But that phase for me was short-lived, for I did not find it useful for me to be able to apply to my daily life or to my understanding of my faith. Today, I think we can focus on the mystery that's trying to be told through the message and not necessarily focus on the language so that we can, and we'll be able to gather some meaning from that text. The writers of apocalyptic messages were not reporters of their time. They were especially not reporters of the end time, which they did not know, but they nevertheless announced. They used mysterious and symbolic language, and they tried to place us in the mystery of the end time and of history. The thing they want us to know behind this representation that has striking vividness is this divine message. The world is not eternal. History will have an end. The literary style of the Jewish apocalyptic language in writings is very appropriate for times of persecution, and especially in those times with Daniel, and even at the time Mark was writing. But it should not distract us from the main message. It should not cause us anguish or make us miss God's message because of the terrible destruction it describes. The message here, one of the messages here, is God's revelation. And this message is, sky and earth will pass away, but my words will not pass away. However, as it is a mystery, it's not within the reach of our human knowledge for us to comprehend how all this is going to happen. For as a mystery, it calls us to trust in God with an attitude of watchfulness and assurance. And remember, if we can figure it out, it's not faith. It's commonly said that the human person lives on hope. I think that's true. Children hope to grow up, and some children hope to have motorcycles. And other older men sometimes like to have motorcycles, despite their wife's protestations. But I was thinking about that this morning. There's just no way I'd be getting a motorcycle. No matter how much I love those guys riding down the road, they just look like so much fun. But not happening. Anyways, you know, so we all hope for things, right? The students hope to pass their exams. Newlyweds hope to have a child. The unemployed hope to find a job. Inmates hope to be released from prison as soon as possible. And shopkeepers who have started a successful business hope it will be successful. Hopes. All of which are good, legitimate, even necessary. But in the end, they are minor hopes. Hopes connected with the good that we do not have and that we would like to have. But these hopes are the hopes of this world. Hopes that can point us to the real hope, one of the theological virtues of faith, hope, and love. It is this hope that we care about. This hope with a capital H, for example, if you will. This hope takes us from the very circumstances of everyday and ordinary life with its little minor hopes to our Lord and God. And little hopes are not always fulfilled. They can deceive and disillusion us. But in their smallness, they can make us think about the hope that does not deceive, that always keeps desires alive. Hope, with a capital H, is not the fruit of our effort or our burning desires. Rather, it is the grace and charism of the Spirit, a theological virtue that longs for God himself and a definitive and perfect union with him. This is the hope that gives us access to the fullness and fulfillment of our personal being, through him, with him, and in him. It is this hope we should all have. In the present, now, or in the future, this is the happy end times that we seek. Amen.